Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to CIOs and Bowties from ACG Wealth. We're looking to address issues that are of interest to our clients, of interest to the investing marketplace at large, and we hope that you'll come back for more as Greg and I, over time, discuss more issues that are, as I said earlier, of interest to people that we deal with on a daily basis. Today, interestingly enough, we hope all of them are interesting, we're talking about blockchain and the resulting cryptocurrencies that come from blockchain technology, the differences between the two. We're enormous, they are different things entirely. And Greg will share his experiences, his knowledge with us all today regarding both Bitcoin, both cryptocurrencies and blockchain. So to begin with, Greg, cryptocurrencies, are they here to stay? And why don't we address at the outset blockchain, how it affects cryptocurrencies, and what differentiates the two of them?
Okay. Well, David, good to be here. You're the bow tie, I'm the CIO, so maybe we'll be interchangeable at some point. Well, thanks very much for the opportunity, and so let's deal with that real quick. So the best way I can talk about it is if you remember the old Napster days when everyone was downloading music. It turns out it wasn't legal and that was shut down. But basically, if you take that concept of Napster, which really meant that a song would sit on thousands and thousands of computers, and you would basically access that song wherever it was available, it meant that this distributed architecture allowed a unique, a true copy of the file to reside in thousands of places and couldn't be changed. Okay, so that's an important part, is the change aspect. So blockchain is pretty much the same thing. It's a distributed architecture, thousands upon thousands of computers, which will contain maybe a code, a unique code, or a unique file, or something along those lines. And by virtue of this distributed architecture, and you cannot hack it, you cannot change it, it really becomes a true source of that data. You cannot impose or change what that data is.
So once an event has occurred, it's set in concrete, so as to speak.
Exactly. Totally set in concrete. So why is that important? It's important because here you have a system where you don't really have a representative, a central bank, an institution saying this is the true copy of that data. You can believe the true copy exists just by virtue of the infrastructure of the data. So that's kind of important now, that you can take out a central bank or some central institution. It's the perfect disintermediation, if you will. So that's blockchain, and we'll discuss its various applications, which are too numerous to talk about. All a cryptocurrency is then is a currency or a code or an algorithm that sits on a blockchain, which says this represents value. So by change, and you cannot alter the code, so you cannot alter the value component of it. So cryptocurrency is really just a coin with value on a blockchain.
Blockchain is the technology, cryptocurrency is the result thereof.
Yes, it's an application.
Correct. Excellent. So there are opportunities in the marketplace, already they exist. In terms of trading cryptocurrencies and in terms of arbitraging perhaps across different platforms, various cryptocurrencies and the like. Talk to us about how the world is developing these arbitrage and trading opportunities within cryptocurrencies.
Certainly. So one thing you and I know from being in the markets for a long period of time is that when things go up in price, the speculative fever runs hot and a lot of new entrants jump into the market to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we saw essentially was Bitcoin, which is the quintessential cryptocurrency. It is the biggest cryptocurrency out there and synonymous with cryptocurrencies. The price of Bitcoin went from $200-$300 in 2012, I believe it was, to a high of about 19, even touching maybe 20,000 this year. Well, such a massive increase brings in a lot of people and participants that say, well, we're going to trade this. First of all, it's very volatile. And second of all, if the price is appreciating, you want to capture some of that price appreciation. So the advent of many different kinds of funds that are trading cryptocurrencies. Now, just to be clear, there are now at this point thousands of different kinds of cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is the quintessential, but there are hundreds and hundreds of coins that are coming out every day. My personal problem with such a thing is, you know, trading is difficult no matter what you're trading. Again, you and I know that, you from your Forex days. It's difficult, so I don't understand how a participant can all of a sudden be good at trading cryptos. Where were they before, and where were they trading before, and why weren't they successful at that? So that's my first kind of way of being a little bit dubious about the trading aspects of it. Maybe a buy and hold strategy might actually work better, but we'll see about that. The arbitrage aspect really is interesting to me, because the way arbitrage can work is if you've got sizable transactions going being executed on certain exchanges, you know that when that transaction hits, it's actually going to distort the price vis-a-vis the other exchanges. So I do believe there is an arbitrage capability for those who could trade in size, and maybe that can be captured in a trading strategy in a fund context.
That leads me on to something else, though. These sit in the big wide world of their internet. They don't sit at a custodian per se. So how do you arbitrage Ethereum might be, which is another of the cryptocurrencies, how do you arbitrage one currency vis-a-vis the other if they're not being settled across the same platforms?
Yeah, I mean, let's even jump back and simplify your question a little bit, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
If you or I wanted to simply go and buy cryptocurrency, not even bother arbitraging or even getting there, it's really tough to do. You cannot open up your Scottrade or E-Trade or Fidelity account or whatever it is and simply buy it, you know, buy a different coin all the time. There's an advent of an ETF, and we'll park that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's quite difficult. You need to sign up with a company like a Coinbase, a hot wallet, it's called. And then you've got to transfer your money into the wallet, and then you've got to buy the Bitcoin, and then you've got to transfer Bitcoin to Ethereum. It's tough, right? So this, I believe, in time will become seamless. People will work it out. I mean, if there's money to be made, people will work it out. It'll be seamless. But right now, I believe that is a large impediment to a lot of our compatriots, other wealth managers, actually adopting cryptos at all. Because it's actually too tough to trade, let alone arbitrage.
So, Greg, we've discussed more than any other. We've discussed Bitcoin. I mentioned Ethereum, a competitive cryptocurrency, perhaps. There are others, many, many others. Ripple, another of the names that our clients and people watching this video might have heard of in the past. Where do we go through from here? How do we determine who the winners are, who the losers are, who the likely winners are, who the likely losers are?
Right. I don't have a good answer to that. I mean, this is like the Wild West in the sense of there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dot-com companies coming out. Which one do you choose? Which one's the winner? Okay, it's tough. If cryptos remain and don't, you know, fade into insignificance, which I don't believe they will, certainly you'd want to go with the big daddy, the Bitcoin. Ethereum seems to be up there. There seems to be a lot of development that's occurring on Ethereum. I think market cap wise is probably the second biggest.
Okay.
So again, those will be your blue chips, so to speak, and won't go away. So I'm quite comfortable putting money into those if I was investing in it. The other one I kind of like is Bitcoin Cash.
Oh.
That's an interesting one, because Bitcoin Cash is essentially a bunch of developers on Bitcoin saying, we don't agree with the way the development is going on Bitcoin. We want to take what's known as a fork. So we want to develop it in a different way or allow it some different functionality. They fork it, and a fork creates a new currency, so to speak. I think of that akin to a stock split, if you will, where you get units in the split-off company as well as the mothership.
Mm-hmm.
So Bitcoin Cash is interesting to me, Ethereum. And the other two, and again, you mentioned there's hundreds. You mentioned Ripple. Ripple's kind of interesting because it's being adopted by the banking institutions at large, especially for large global transactions. So we got to watch Ripple. That's an interesting one. And the other one I kind of like for, you know, it's big enough to think about it, is called Stellar, otherwise known as Stellar Lumens. and the only reason I really like Stellar is because it's being adopted for whatever reason quite well amongst emerging market countries. And let's be clear, as far as an application is concerned, you and I both know that when you go to South Africa these days, almost every person, regardless of their economic stratum, is carrying
a smartphone. Yeah.
Which means that they now have a bank that they enable to transact with. So therefore, that's a trend that seems quite good to me, and so Stellar Lumens being a currency that might benefit.
That leads me to a question which is in fact not on my list. I haven't prepared for this, but I think it is worth discussing. Central banks and their adoption of some kind of crypto kind of currency likely to occur, has occurred in certain instances, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, and other perhaps emerging economies. Where are we with the likes of the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve Bank, the National Bank of Switzerland adopting something of a cryptocurrency kind of competitor to their local currency?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's a long, involved, deep question, but let's try to attack it a little bit. First of all, the currencies, the countries you mentioned that have come up with their own currencies have all experienced
geopolitical issues
and hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So clearly, this is a panacea to say it's a way to prevent the perception, at least, of the ability to hyperinflate away your currency. Okay. So some would say the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the European, the ECB are doing exactly that. They're inflating away our currency.
Indeed they are.
Okay. So there is a possibility that at some point when there's, if faith gets lost in those central banks, they will adopt their own currency, A. B, they may just turn around and say, you know, cryptocurrencies are illegal. You can't trade them. In fact, I think some countries have. I think China put some kind of moratorium on them, possibly because a lot of money was leaving the country, you know, illegally as a result. So that's the biggest risk facing cryptos. The counter to that is that if a central bank did make a crypto illegal, there's no way to stop it from morphing into other boundaries, you know, just going offshore. So it's very hard to collapse the whole system by virtue of its design, which means that a central bank is more likely to adopt it in some way.
And have some control.
Have some control and try and spearhead the technology, in the chaperone the technology in the way they want to go. So it's anyone's guess at this time.
Excellent. I digress from what we had originally discussed, but there we go. Private investments, Greg, you mentioned earlier, you alluded to the fact that there are ETFs available or looking to become available in terms of cryptocurrency trading. What about LP investments and the like?
Yeah. So this is an area where we're doing some keen research, because here we're stepping away from the crypto space and we're looking more at the blockchain application.
Okay.
As you and I know, and much to the chagrin of some of our investors, limited partnership units can be quite illiquid. They cannot be transacted simply by virtue of a ticker symbol or the like. Well, there is many companies, I don't know if there's a lot, but there's many companies trying to adopt the process of putting a limited partnership unit onto the blockchain, i.e. saying this unit is unique, it represents value in this company, etc. And then by virtue of it being on the blockchain, having a unique code associated with it, creating a token whereby you can buy and sell the token, transfer the token. So in other words, you're taking an illiquid unit of value and now making it somewhat liquid, or even very liquid in certain instances. In addition, if there's a market for the unit or the token, you're actually creating a secondary price for the unit as well, which you know is not readily available on LP units. So I think we've seen venture capital, you know, the issuance of VC now happens at the coin level. It doesn't happen so much with going out raising LP units,
yep.
Right? Private equity most surely
enormous change in the recent past.
Yeah. And then you've got all this private equity and private investments that is out there currently, which certainly there's an application to bring it onto the blockchain and make it more liquid.
Excellent. From a retail perspective, Greg, our clients are in the retail place, marketplace by and large. And custodianship is incredibly, from a security perspective, incredibly important to them. What's going to happen with the custodianship of these currencies and the like with regard to the way we interact with our clients and do business on their behalf?
Yeah. So when we speak about custodianship, what we're really saying is there is a trusted source that says that your investment is here, it's present, it represents value, maybe the value even, you know, guaranteed to some level. Guaranteed is a strong word.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reason for custodian. It's the safe custody of an asset. Well, today, if you went and bought Bitcoin, you know, it essentially becomes a code that's written on a blockchain somewhere in the Ethereum, in the ether.
Yeah.
Which really enables you to not keep any record of it, fly somewhere, you know, to Kenya, log onto a computer, and your value is there. So that's a good thing. But from a custodian point of view, that's a bad thing because somebody else can log in and steal your coins and your
which has happened in many occasions. Right.
So you get the concept of that's called a hot wallet. You get the concept of a cold storage. Cold storage means you take off any ability to access your account online. You know, maybe you write down your code on a piece of paper and lock it in a safe, but no one can get access to your account, cold storage. But that's fine, you know, if you're dealing in maybe small increments. But now when we start dealing in the money that we are used to, which is in the millions, and sometimes tens of millions, you know, you're certainly not going to put a piece of paper with a code in your wallet or in your, you know,
safe.
That's no good. So obviously innovation being what it is and companies sensing the profit, companies like Coinbase now have or are introducing institutional type custodian solutions whereby, you know, they keep the coins, let's say, separate from the internet on a machine that's not linked to the internet or the like. But it has its problems. I mean, just as I'm thinking about it, you'll remember the Israelis with the Stuxnet, how they were able to get Stuxnet in the Iraqi centrifuges to actually jump from a connected computer to an unconnected computer. Yeah. So it's the Wild West out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How interesting. Greg, we're both members of ACG Wealth Investment Committee. So put your Chief Investment Officer cap on right now and tell our viewers, should we have an asset allocation, a portion of our asset allocation to, cryptocurrencies at this juncture?
Yeah, great question.
Is that the answer? Yes?
No. Yeah, yes, no. No. Yes. So let's take all this infrastructure and tradability and all of those reasons aside, and let's just almost theoretically just say, should we invest in it? Does it diversify our portfolios? Right. I think the answer is probably yes, but empirically very difficult to prove. The qualities of the Bitcoin represent to a degree, let's say, precious metal. Okay, it's a store of value. It's easily transportable. It's a commodity. So it can be transported, easily transportable commodity, and it's hard to make millions and millions of them, right? So there's a finite supply of Bitcoin, for example, which is similar to gold in that.
So it's more a commodity, therefore, than it is a currency. Is that what you're saying?
It is, and we might talk about that. The SEC has even come out and said, this is a commodity. The Bitcoin is a commodity, or the coin is a currency. The coin is a commodity. Interestingly enough, if it represents the same characteristics as, let's say, a precious metal, which we know diversifies an asset allocation, you would think that you should have exposure to some as a risk mitigator. But the performance history is so short
and so volatile.
Empirically, we don't know. And of course, I would postulate that the type of investors who would invest in, let's say, a gold bar versus a Bitcoin are actually quite different types of investors with different psychological makeups. So it's hard to just say categorically it will diversify your portfolio, but it may, and we will see if it will.
Okay, so from Bitcoin to the underlying technology to
blockchain.
To blockchain, thank you very much. Where is blockchain being used today? What are the realities for blockchain, and how practical is the technology?
Very practical. Okay, I mean, again, going back to the NASA days, the technology is proven to work. By the way, not every blockchain, if you will, is a public blockchain. So Bitcoin is a public blockchain because it records, you know, each Bitcoin on the blockchain, and you and I can actually go and see that, right? Some, you know, interbank blockchains are private. We can't see them, but they're public to the various banks. So the technology does work. Where it's being used, for me, from an interesting perspective right now, mm-hmm. is the transportation or tracking of physical goods to the end user. So let me be clear about that. You and I, again, coming from Africa, know that war diamonds or mm-hmm. war commodities, especially out of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, such as cobalt, which is, you know, newly popular because of
batteries.
Mm-hmm. There's a very big problem with war diamonds getting into the system, and basically people being abused to mine
to create wealth for others.
Right. So I believe what De Beers does now is they will, every diamond that they mine, they put a micro, they basically etch a micro code on it, which is the code that is now recorded on the blockchain. So you can never change the code, and you can't artificially manipulate the code, but what you can do is now see every time that diamond gets scanned along its supply chain, you can see, is that code on the irrefutable blockchain, so you know that it's a legit diamond. So that, to me, is a very interesting, you know, supply chain tracking.
And there goes the practicality of it all.
Yeah, and there's the proven practicality. One other thing that just, you know, literally hit my desk, you know, maybe this morning I saw was a startup out of the West Coast saying, we'll record your personal information, whether you like it or not, on the blockchain. That means that, you know, you will know exactly where your personal information is being shared, because it will be, you know, exactly what was on the blockchain. And if it's not, you know that somebody was throwing around your personal information, which we know is a big hot item right now.
Well, enormously so. Well, folks, we hope you found that interesting. Needless to say, if questions arise from this discussion, please feel free to contact Greg, CIO of ACG Wealth, at any time. Feel free to contact myself, David Crook, Global Economist, and we look forward to further discussions with you. And hopefully we're interesting and diverse in our discussion points as time progresses. Enjoy your evening, your day, your morning. I don't know when you're watching this. Take care. Bye.
Thanks very much. Take care.